When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame, don't meet strangers online unless you know exactly who they are. Like, make them show you, like, their license or some other form of authentic identification that could then be sent in through a database to prove that they are who they say they are. Encarta.
That's a very specific and long name. You know what you should have done? You should have just shortened it to Sesame 412.
Yeah. No, I'm not doing that. I don't like that number now.
Okay. So today on our advice-based podcast here.
No, wait. Yes, we're an advice podcast, everyone. Just letting you know.
Yeah. We're changing things up. No, we're not. I do want to give you the advice to not talk to strangers.
True. Yes. That is a good one.
Yes. I mean, you know, you can talk to people, and I'm assuming most of the people listening to this are adults because this is an explicit rated podcast. But,
right, yeah.
But you know, tell your kids, you know, keep an eye on your kids. Maybe, you know, pay attention to what they're doing on the internet. That's my advice for today, and this is Mike's advice corner. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, anyway, so... Yeah, we got a comment on one of our old episodes that says we give bad advice, and I'm like trying to figure that out, really, because we're not an advice podcast. I'm pretty sure we're a pop culture review podcast, but anyways, so
that's what I thought we were. Thought we were doing that for the past 6 years, but apparently we've just been giving bad advice to people that's ruining their lives. So
yeah, I mean, you never know, somebody could be, you know, listening to our George of the Jungle 2 episode and you know, get upset because we tell them not to, you know, kiss apes. But anyway, so the
we told them not to commit bestiality. Apparently that's bad advice. Yes, so
I don't know.
Sorry, guilty as charged. Actually not guilty as charged, because if you do it, then you are guilty and it's a felony. But whatever.
Yeah.
Go ahead and commit felonies. That's the rule now. That's the advice. Go ahead.
So yeah. Anyways, today we are doing another look at a very special episode of a television sitcom from the 90s this time. This time we are covering the television show Smart Guy, which ran on the, was it the WB from April 2nd, 1997 to May 16th, 1999. You can find this episode on Disney Plus if you're interested in doing this. The show is a show basically about a kid named TJ Henderson, who is a smart guy. He's a young kid who gets placed into high school from like fourth grade because he's smart, and played by Taj Mowry, who you may know from voices that he did on bunch of different cartoons out there, including Kim Possible, among other things. And he guest starred on Full House, among other things, before this. And he's still acting. He was in like the latest Muppet thing that they did on Disney Plus. I don't know what it was called. It was like the one about the band, the Muppet Mayhem, that mayhem band that they have, the one that, you know, it's got like Animal on drums and whatnot. I never watched any of the episodes, but it got canceled after one season. So, unfortunately. But, yeah, but he's still acting. And it also starred Jason Weaver as his brother Marcus. Tasha Yvette Henderson was played by Essence Atkins. Floyd Henderson, his dad, is played by John Marshall Jones. And Morris L. Moe Tibbs is played by Omar Gooding. Yes, by the way, Taj Mowry is the younger brother of Tia and Tamara Mowry from Sister Sister. And, and Omar Gooding is the younger brother of Cuba Gooding Jr. So, yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right.
We have some little, I don't know, family connections in this show. This episode that we covered is season 2, episode 19, entitled Strangers on the Net, directed by Lex Peseris and written by Howard Nemitz. Yes. So, initial thoughts here after watching this episode here, Sesame?
It's okay. There was a part, there was like a B plot that I just hated so much, and it just like, yeah, it made me free in a visceral manner, which is weird because that's the part of the show that's not even about like the really serious nature of the episode. That made me more angry than the serious part of the show.
Yeah, but my I made a note in my notes that I only made a few notes, but the thing I said at the end is the show was good overall, but sometimes the juxtaposition of the comedic scenes with the serious scenes overwhelmed the topic of the very special episode part. So yeah, it's like, we get that it's a sitcom, but it's like the comedy elements of it were like way over the top, and then you have the serious elements. It's like they didn't balance out at all.
Yeah, exactly. Like with Degrassi Junior High, excuse me, when Will's parents die, they don't play the music at the end with like this really upbeat song. They just have silence.
I mean, to be fair to Degrassi Junior High, that was a melodrama where this is actually a sitcom. So
true. Yeah.
But even in other very special episodes that we covered, like there wasn't like, I mean, you did have some kind of over the top stuff on like the Family Ties episode that we watched, but it wasn't like way over the top. It was kind of balanced in a way, you know, where you had the comedy flowed into the seriousness because you kind of only had one, like an A plot. You didn't really have a B plot. And I think the problem with doing a good, very special episode is that you can't really focus on a B plot too much.
Right. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. It's only 21 minutes or something like that, too.
You don't need, I mean, the thing is you don't need to. I mean, people are fine with, you know, taking a week off from the yuck-yucks and going into, you know, a little bit of, you know, serious mode here to make sure that TJ doesn't get molested. You know? So.
Yep, exactly.
So, like, what happens here in this episode, Sesame?
So I wrote in my notes the episode where TJ wasn't so smart. That's funny. Because he's a smart guy. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was clever.
Yes, it is. Really, I think we can stop ever recording a podcast again because that's the most clever thing you'll ever say.
That's the conclusion. That's the finality of it all.
Yep.
Then we can move on to doing advice columns and then,
it's going to be Dear Sesame, you know.
Yep.
It'll be Dear Sesame. Dear Sesame, my son went online and met an adult who gave him bootleg video games. How should I handle this situation?
Exactly. Sell the games. No, just kidding. So the episode begins with EJ bugging his dad over a video game that he wants, which costs $55. That's another thing right there. So it seems like video games have pretty much cost the same amount as they did. So it's like, it's weird because like back in the 80s and 90s, $55 would be like a lot more now with like today's money.
Yeah. It's
weird.
I've noticed that too. Like I remember when I used to work at a Blockbuster, like I would notice that like, oh, the new video game this year costs the same as the new video game 5 years ago. It's like, what the hell? Like, and it's still the same, like, you know, from 97 to 2024, you know, it's weird.
It's just, yeah, it's bizarre. So it's just almost like, it's almost like you can keep prices at a level and not actually decrease or increase it. Anyway, so
I mean, it could be that the whole idea of capitalism is just a mirage that was created by greedy people to control our country and the world.
Maybe, but we can't talk about that because that's giving advice. So we don't want
to.
No,
I'm not giving in any advice. I'm not saying what you should do. I'm not saying that we should eat the rich or anything. I'm just saying,
of course not. If anything, so in some sense, Marky 4.1.0 is a hero because he's selling bootleg games. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes.
That's terrible.
Wait, no.
That's terrible. No, that's terrible.
Well, technically two things can be true. Hitler was a good painter, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, he's okay. He's mediocre, but no, he's still like, anyway, so yeah, he's bugging his dad over the game. His dad, his name is Floyd. He's like, no way. So then TJ goes, he asks his sister Yvette to back him up and say that, hey, that's like a reasonable price for a CD-ROM game. So it's not like he was for like a Nintendo, it's for his computer. And so they do this in front of their father, who could hear this potential scheme being set up within 3 feet of him. What? A deal? Okay, that's what we plan. By the way,
$55 in 1997 is $106.61 in today's money.
Exactly. So I'm saying, like, that's an expensive game, you know?
Yeah.
And so Yvette kind of plays along for a bit, but then she's like, oh, well, there's a pair of earrings at the mall that cost the same amount, so why don't you buy that for me? And then Lloyd's like, okay, no, I'm not going to buy you anything, so leave me alone. Let me paraphrase it, of course.
Yeah.
Because he's like a no-nonsense father, you know, type of dude, but like with the heart of gold, who's like not really harsh, but he's also stern at the same time.
I'm not sure how he walks around with that heart of gold. It's got to be heavy.
What's that?
I'm not sure how he walks around with that heart of gold. It's got to be heavy.
It's got to be pretty hard, yeah. I would say it's pretty difficult. Like, pretty much weighing him down, like even physically.
I mean, I've heard of like gold teeth and stuff. I've just never heard of a gold heart.
Sure.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit different. That's just like a little bit, you know.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, so TJ and his friend Karen are hanging out in his room, trying to come up with a plan to get some money to go buy a game. I think it's called like Starfighter Doctor or some bullshit.
It's called Starship Doctor.
Okay, Starship Doctor, got it.
Yeah.
And so Karen tells them, like, hey, I've been talking to this other kid in the chat room who is selling bootleg copies of the game for a cheaper price, like $20 or something like that. And TJ's like, I don't know about that. That's kind of illegal and a crime. And then Karen's like, well, you're not a wuss, are you? And so that, of course, like, that was like a thing in the 80s and 90s where if like someone called you a wuss, like you had to do the most dangerous thing possible to prove that you're not a wuss. So like,
before that,
I bet you like,
I was going to say, before that, Karen makes the best observation in the whole episode. She's a very astute about how horrible capitalism is by pointing out that they are charging $55 for a disc that costs $2 to make.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what sells him on the idea. Like, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. So then they go talk to this, quote, kid named Marky 4.1.2 in the kids' chat room.
Yeah.
Asking them if the game with the dumb name is still available. he says yes. And he lists a bunch of other games that he has for sale as well. Like Tomb Raider was on there. I think there's a bunch of fake games as well.
Yeah,
I definitely saw Tomb Raider 1 and 2.
I mean, Starship Doctor is a stupid name compared to something like Crash Bandicoot.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a totally fine name. Yeah, that name's fine. And so he's like, yeah. And Karen wants all of them because she is greedy. And there is the implication that her family is wealthy, as she made a comment about being able to find $20 in her dad's couch a moment earlier. I don't know much about the show. I don't know her family situation. So
I'm not even sure how many episodes Karen even appears in. She might
okay.
She might just be a random friend who only is in one episode. So
I mean, they seem to be really good friends, so she should be in a lot of episodes. I don't know, but like, it would be kind of weird to like have like your best friend show up in only one episode. It's like
you spend
all your time with them, but they just don't appear in the show. That would be kind of, you know, strange.
Sarita Monet Dickelman plays Karen.
Plays the K's? Okay.
Plays Karen.
Cool. It's so blah, blah, blah.
She's only in this episode.
That's it. So it's like his best friend, and then that's it. Okay, yes. That's stupid. What a dumbass thing to do. Okay, so
they used to do that in shows all the time. I mean, I always hated it, like, when they would have, like, a story on a sitcom built up around this character. Like they'd have, like, a whole story that could have been built up about one of the regular characters on the show, but they bring in a character for one episode to build up this whole story, and then you never see that person again.
Right.
It's
like, I don't know, it's this stupid bullshit.
Yeah.
And so, there's a dumb B-plot. This is the one that really made me angry, like, in the visceral way I got really angry at this B-plot. There's a dumb B-plot where TJ's brother and friend bought a piece of shit car for $600 and are going to split ownership between the two of them.
Yes.
Doesn't really matter, aside from the fact that TJ offers to, quote, fix it for $65 so he can go buy the games.
Yeah,
like, they're gonna go buy three,
and like, and the sister, Tasha ends up, you know, getting part of the car too, and because she said she's gonna, you know, pay $300 to get it fixed, but ends up being able to get a deal by paying $55 to TJ to fix the car with a paperclip.
Yep, and so it. Yeah. In fact, really, that part of the story irritated me in a visceral way that I can't fully articulate, which is what I just said, but I can't even articulate the fact that I can't articulate it. And so TJ, quote, fixes the starter of the car with the said paperclip, takes the money and goes to, quote, Dog Burger, which is like a local restaurant, I guess, with Karen to meet this mystery kid while wearing Orioles hats so that they could be recognized. But back then, you're like, I'm going to wear this t-shirt with this logo on it or whatever. And you're like, okay, cool. And so, but what do you know? The kid doesn't show up. It's a full-ass man wearing what I call the pedophile jacket. I don't know why. It just looked like a weird jacket that a pedophile would wear. I don't know. And then here's the thing, too, that kind of gets me. So they're like, well, why were you pretending to be a kid? And he's like, oh, well, I like video games. And guess who else likes video games? They're like, and Karen's like, kids? And he's like, exactly. Okay, wait a minute. So this is 1998 we're talking about here, okay? So this isn't like 1979 where, like, if you're an adult who likes video games, people are going to call you a nerd or whatever. Like, at this point in time, it's well established that adults like video games. Like, yeah. This is not a, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he could. I mean, I'm sure there are some people of his own age that want to play Starship Doctor.
Or Tomb Raider. I mean, those are fun games. Yeah. Tomb Raider 1 and 2.
Not as good as Starship Doctor.
No, it's not. The fake game doesn't exist. No, it's not.
I have a Starship Doctor poster on my wall behind me.
You do? Okay, that's kind of
cool. Yeah. My favorite part is level 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the level where what happens? The doctor, like, dies or something? Or
that there's a whole there's a love story. It turns into like Starship Grey's Anatomy. It's like really weird.
Oh, okay.
It's like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Do you have dreams that you want to achieve but are scared to do so due to self-doubt, fear, and other people's criticism? I have just what you need. You need a dose of the Living the Dream with Curveball podcast, where I interview guests that will motivate and inspire you to stop at nothing to achieve your dreams. And always remember, if you believe, you can achieve.
The Living the Dream with Curveball podcast is available on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, everybody. Why don't you give the old Black Lincoln Collective podcast a listen? We're funny, we're fat, and we're here 24/7 at blcpodcast.com. Anytime you want to listen, anywhere, all your favorite podcast apps. Of course, we have a YouTube channel where you can stream live with the show. Check out our shorts. We're funnier the less you hear of us. That's been a Black Lincoln Collective podcast at blcpodcast.com.
Hey, that's so, it's so, yeah, just that part really kind of got to me. It's like, you know, like, adults like video games, and I know kids like games too, but like Tomb Raider 2 is objectively a good game. I mean, like, my brother and I would get lost just doing random shit in her mansion, like not even playing the game. Just like,
yeah.
Like, for example, like she had a butler. And so the butler would always follow you around no matter where you went. And it was really annoying because you could always hear like glasses clink because he had like a bunch of glasses on like a metal tray. And so we would lead him down to the basement and just leave him there and close the door. And you could still hear the glasses clink, even if you're like in a completely different part of the mansion. And we would do that all day. Like, we spent hours just doing that shit, you know?
Nice.
And so, yeah, you could have a lot of fun playing those games, even as an adult. I mean,
yeah,
we were.
But still, this is the time when, you know, people just thought that video games are for kids and comic books are for kids and whatnot, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So TJ, you know, he's a little uncomfortable at first, you know, being a smart guy after all, or smart kid rather. But he's assuaged by Marky's charm and smooth talking, not to mention the games tucked neatly in the brown paper bag that are calling his name, quote, Marky, and throws in an extra game for free just because they're, quote, Orioles fans. Like, okay, that's kind of whatever, fine. And then they go back to TJ's house to play their stupid game, and he almost gives the game away, pun intended.
So,
and when Floyd comes into the room to see if everything is all right, as he heard screaming inside the bedroom, TJ then says, "We were just playing Doctor," and he heard screaming, and there's a boy and girl in the bedroom. And then Floyd is like, "Wait, what the fuck?" And then he's like, "Oh no, I mean, like, we're playing the game." Anyway, what happens after this?
It's such a bad, distasteful joke to have in this episode.
Like, well, that, again, that goes into the whole Nickelodeon bullshit where adult jokes into...
I mean, this was a Disney-produced show, but still, it's like...
Well, yeah, sure, but...
One thing I just wanted to mention, too, the actor who plays Marky, Jim Fife, I just find it interesting. It has nothing to do with anything, but I just find it interesting. He's currently a teacher. And I just thought that was interesting. I highly doubt many of his students watch Smart Guy, but
I'm sure that they don't. From 26 years ago, whenever this episode came,
almost 3 decades ago. But still, it's like,
I would never in my life play a pedophile. I don't care how struggling I was.
Yeah,
like getting a job. I'm like, I'm not.
I know.
We're just not. Like,
it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess if the money was right, man. No, I'm joking. No.
I mean, obviously someone has to do it if there's a story that needs it. But like,
I mean, because I've played a lot of like despicable people in people's short films and stuff since I've been in college until today. I mean, I was in a series of AIDS awareness commercials back in the day that aired like regionally, at least like they aired in different states in the Midwest during like MTV shows, where I played a guy who was basically sleeping around and giving people AIDS. So
yeah, I remember those.
Yes. So
hilarious.
I'm just saying, you know, I guess the jump from that to playing a PDF file is like, I don't know, you know, so
yes.
But,
oh my God.
Anyway, so, okay. We've got, you know, he basically explains to his dad that, you know, he's like, I was able to buy these games, and he's got all these different games, and he's like, oh, wait. And you know, Floyd's like, oh, that's like $200 worth of games. And he's like, no, Karen bought the other ones, you know, and then, you know, like, yeah, Karen's got money or something, you know, all this, whatever. It's like, yeah, and I'm going to, you know, give you your food here. I'm going to have dinner soon, you know, bread and butter on a tin plate or something, you know. So the
bread and water served on 10 tin plates.
Yeah.
Because TJ basically like insulted his dad in front of Karen, saying, oh, some parents actually give their children gifts. Like, Jesus, dude.
I know. By the way, if you want to feel, you know, because we're so up here now, we're like all happy. I'm going to bring us down right now. I just learned today that in Gaza right now, most people are surviving on a slice of bread and a scoop of cream cheese a day.
That's just horrible.
Yes. I mean, and by surviving, I mean barely. So anyway, so Yeah,
that's absolutely horrible.
Yes, I just found that out on some news podcast I was listening to, and I'm like, oh, this is gross. So, yeah. Anyways, they talk to Markey again online. Markey messages TJ or something, and saying that he's got other games and they want to go over to his place. He sends TJ a message asking him if he likes the new games, is what he asks first. And TJ replies that he loves them. Markey tells him that he has two more games available. TJ agrees to go buy them, and he wants to meet at Dog Burger again, because, you know, that's where you meet people, is at Dog Burger.
Yeah, that's the place to be.
Yes. Markey then tells them that he's unable to meet him there, and that he has to stay home working on a new game he is making. He has to meet his deadline. And so instead, he invites Karen and TJ over to the house to see the new game that he's developing, which they agree to do in secret, because they are both so smart.
Yep. This show is called Smart Guy, after all.
Yes. They obtain more money from their money machine, which is Mo and Marcus, in their stupid car. And basically, they're trying to figure out why it won't go. And he's like, yeah, you're out of gas. And they got $66, so they could split it three ways between the two guys and his sister. And
that one car owned by three people.
Yes.
Yes.
The smartest thing ever.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I used to have a car that was owned by 55 people. It was really hard to get. When there was one that we had that was owned by 365 people. Leap year was kind of hard to figure out who was going to have it the extra day, but, you know.
True. It's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, they go over to Marky's house or whatever the fuck it is. And...
pretty sure it's a house and a basement.
I think it's the basement of the house. I wasn't sure if it was like a storefront or whatever it was, you know. And he shows the new game that they're working on, which is a virtual reality surfing game called Surf City.
Yeah, man. Surf City, bro.
Yeah. At least it isn't like, you know, Space Surf City or something, you know.
Yeah.
So it uses a camera to capture the image to a video game, so you know you can, and it will imitate the movements of the person on there on this stationary surfboard.
That's what I called it. I called it stationary surfboard.
Yeah, that's what I would have called the game.
Yep.
It's a game where you just stand there.
Stationary surfboard. You just stand on it.
Yes.
Try to stay as still as possible.
Yes.
That's how you get points.
TJ blanked.
Oh, there it is. You got negative points though.
So
you fucking idiot. So, oh boy.
So they're playing and they think it's all so awesome, which it really wasn't. But maybe in 1997, 98, this was cool. I don't know. But
I really don't know either if that would be considered like high end technology at that point. I don't know.
Yeah. And Markey had also told them that, you know, he wants them to try it out, that they'd be the first people to try out the game.
That's important right there. That line's important.
Yeah, first kids to try out the game. And he states that there's a huge problem with them. You know, he said they could be part of the game, but people don't wear normal clothes while surfing.
Like, it's true. It is a good point. But, you know, you sort of... wrongest reason possible. Yeah.
And he says you should be wearing swimsuits.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says that, you know, instead, because they don't have swimsuits there, they could do it in their underwear.
Yeah.
Seeing that they're the same as jams, whatever those are. I think those are
like, I think he meant like long pajama.
I think jams are like, they used to call that like long swim trunks, used to be called jams or something. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It suggested giving it a try. So TJ felt really uncomfortable about this idea.
Right. Like,
yeah, this is when he actually kind of gets smart.
Yeah, exactly.
And, then Markey then talks about how he had a few friends who were also uncomfortable with the idea, but later loosened up to it while showing them a binder containing pictures of them.
Jeez.
And there he shows a girl named Melissa who was roughly the same age as the two kids, who was nervous about the idea of undressing too. However, he was able to convince her over time that, you know,
be more comfortable, you know, that way, surfing with her shirt off.
Yep.
So TJ then realizes, wait, I thought we were the first people to try this game.
Exactly.
So he points out that, you know, that disturbing inconsistency, you know, it's very weird. Marky then is claiming that, oh, no, you're the first people to try out this version of the game.
Oh, yeah, that's a good catch. Good deflection there, Marky, idiot.
Yeah. So he said he had to fix some bugs in this game and everything. And then so he's trying to convince them, you know, still to take off their clothes. And so, you know, TJ, you know, is basically like, yep, pedophile alert. And like,
we're not, we're going, bro.
Yeah. He states that, you know, we have to go, you know, then he's like, oh, Karen, you can stay. TJ has to go, you know. And
she's like, yeah, okay, like, idiot, no. Don't stay there alone.
I mean, I don't care if she's not smart girl. She still should be smart enough to realize
who knows what he would do with her, and then probably, like, kill her and put her in his wall or some shit like that. Yeah. Like, you don't.
Well, he might make her part of the video game forever. Endeavor.
Exactly. You know, that would be really fucked up.
She'd be stuck in virtual reality.
Damn, that would be, that's like a whole other,
it becomes right, like Lawnmower Man or something. And
wasn't that fucking movie with Denzel Washington I used to watch as a kid all the time, where he was like a cop?
Virtuosity.
I used to watch that movie all the time when I was like,
it's
12.
Funny that I mentioned Lawnmower Man and then you mentioned Virtuosity. They were both directed by Brett Leonard from Toledo, Ohio.
Really interesting.
Yeah, who?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before, yeah.
Yeah, who walked out of a movie I produced. But anyway, so So he tries to get her to stay to help him, like, get past a level of this game Ultra Blaster, claiming that, you know, they'd be smart, these kids would be smart enough to do that. And, you know, and TJ's like, yo, Karen's coming over to my place for dinner, you know, sort of thing. So, you know.
She's like, no, I'm not. He's like, yes, you are.
Yeah.
You know, fucking idiot. I don't want you to die here.
And it's like, what's wrong with you? Oh, you know, I got low blood sugar, you know? So, yeah.
It's a good excuse.
It is.
What I don't get, though, about... I don't mean to cut you off.
Oh, go ahead.
All right. So, what I don't get, though, about this, and I'm glad that he's kind of doesn't have any self-awareness, because that means that EJ and Karen didn't get hurt. But, like, do none of these people have, like, any sense of self-preservation at all? Like, I've noticed even from, like, some of these, like, vigilante groups who, like, catch predators or whatever, and they just go and just divulge everything to these random people who don't have any authority over them whatsoever. They're just, like, give them their passcodes to their phones. I'm like, dude, you don't have to talk to them. You know that, right? I mean, I'm glad that you're stupid enough to do it, but, like,
yeah,
you don't have any sense of self-preservation at all to, like, protect yourself. You're just like, yeah, sure. So he's like, yeah, no sweat, bro. You can just leave and come back anytime you want to. But just remember, don't tell anyone.
That's the thing. Like, if this was like an episode of, like, Criminal Minds or something, he would have, like, not let them go, and he would have, you know, chained them up to the wall or something, you know? So,
I mean, seriously, I'm glad that didn't happen.
I know.
Just the way he's like, yeah, sure, no sweat, bro. See you later. Just don't tell your parents. And it's like, yeah, sure. They're definitely not going to tell. Like, really, bro? Like, come on. And
that's
just
what,
like,
I'm saying. Nope. I mean, I never want to be in the mind of a pedophile, but, you know, if I want to place myself in that mind as somebody trying to figure this out, why would I allow my victims to just leave?
It's just bizarre. And, like, and plus two, he's done this enough times to have an entire binder full of pictures of random kids that he's invited over.
But then that makes me wonder, how did he get that many kids to do this without it? And I'm assuming he didn't kill any of these kids.
I'm hoping he didn't.
So
I really hope he didn't.
It just seems very unlikely that not one of these other kids didn't say something to the cops or their parents or a teacher or something.
Exactly. I mean, we're talking probably dozens at least, you know, and...
Yeah.
And even with someone like Melissa, apparently.
Unless they're all, like, pictures of, like, two girls or something, you know? So
maybe, I guess, but I don't know. And then, anyway, that was the only point I wanted to make about that, where it's just like, he's, like, totally nonchalant. Oh, no problem, bro. Just come by whenever you feel like it, bro. I got a new game to work on called Surf City.
Well,
child of this shit.
I mean, the thing is, like, people in reality that are criminals do shit like this all the time, though. Like, they don't realize how stupid they are. I was listening to a podcast the other day, Behind the Bastards, and they were talking about this doctor on it that had this, not even no, a fake doctor. He basically called himself doctor, but he wasn't a doctor, and he was bilking insurance companies for tons and tons of, you know, like millions of dollars. And he had this whole plan that he and this other guy put together to make this thing happen. And he started getting money, and he connected this iPad that he gave to his son. It was connected to the cloud, so all of his email was on there. And his ex-wife read all the email, and all the email was about the plans.
Oh God.
Of how to do this. So people are stupid. So just say.
Yep.
Yeah. But yep. This guy got away with that shit for years. If he would have been smarter, he probably would still be doing it. Right, yeah. So it's hard to say. Anyways, the next thing that happens is TJ arrives home, and his dad notices he's acting strange. Some shit was going on with the car subplot. I don't really give a fuck.
It's boring.
So
it really doesn't matter. The only reason why that mattered is for TJ to get the money to buy the games. That's the only, that's it.
Yeah. And it didn't have to be so fucking, I don't know, over the top and unbelievable. So he arrives home. His dad begins to notice that he's acting strange, and he confronts him about it, what's going on. And eventually, because like TJ's like packing up his computer and basically, you know, saying that he, you know, is done with the internet completely and everything. He's packing up his modem and all this other stuff. And you know, Floyd makes a good point. His dad, he says, basically, you know, isn't that kind of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater?
Right.
You know, after TJ basically confesses what happened and told him everything, that, you know, basically I bought these bootleg games and this guy that wasn't a kid was selling them to us. And then he, you know, tried to get me in my underwear and fucked up. And so then later, Detective Shevlin arrives at the Henderson's home, and she calls the station. She reveals that the man TJ knew as Marky 412 was actually an ex-con who had served time in prison for a similar incident previously. I'm assuming probably with that Melissa chick.
Maybe.
Yeah. She revealed
but
that...
But wait a minute. If that's the case, why was he still allowed to have the picture?
That's a good point. Who knows? They're like, you know, you committed these crimes and you're going to serve prison, but hey, here's a souvenir.
Hey, just your little reward for the time you spend in prison. You know, just the...
Yeah.
Whatever. It's so stupid. Yeah,
It was the 90s. Anyway, so...
yeah.
So... Basically, you know, we find out that he was currently on parole, and that simply by talking to Karen and TJ, he was in violation of that. She then states that he'll have no bail because he's in custody, and mm-hmm. that no bail will be posted, so he's gonna, you know, basically go back to prison. And so TJ's good, you know, his dad assures him that that's all good and everything, and TJ thanks him and says he's tired, so he goes to bed. This is after the detective basically, you know, calling TJ a hero for what he did and all this other stuff.
You're a hero, eh?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And so later that night, TJ wakes up and he's like all freaking out because Floyd's not in his bedroom.
Right.
And he tells him he can't sleep, and he's still feeling guilty about what happened. You know, the thing is, I mean, that is true. Like, people that are like scammed or different things, like that's why a lot of crimes go unreported, is because people are embarrassed by what happened to them.
Yeah.
They feel like they should have been smarter about the situation. And I mean, there's really smart people. I mean, notice all the like, you know, there's really smart people in cults, for example, you know, so that. You know, you wouldn't think, like, people you would think that are, you know, that are brilliant people and everything else, but somehow they're, you know, voting for Donald Trump. And,
well, the reason why I think a lot of smart people are in cults is because smart people can make sense of almost anything, even if it's completely stupid, because they can use their logic abilities
to basically create a narrative where that thing actually does make sense. Whereas yeah. someone who's not very smart would not really be able to construct a narrative like that that makes any sense. I mean, it's weird, right?
It kind of is weird. And I guess Markey kind of did that a little bit with the whole thing where he was just basically trying to say that, you know, if you say something to your dad about these bootleg games, you know, the law will be involved. And, you know, so that kind of makes sense if you break it down that way.
I mean, basically, yeah, telling TJ, you're going to get in trouble because you bought bootleg games, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but anyway, so he's, you know, he's freaking out and, you know, he goes downstairs and he's hanging out with his dad, and his dad basically, you know, says, you know, that, that while TJ talked to Markey before getting to know him, and that was not okay, noting that he didn't act like a stranger. So, and you know, that's what, TJ was saying, you know, he didn't act like a stranger. So they basically doesn't feel like he is one. That's the kind of the danger of the internet, especially, you know, this is the nascent days of the internet, you know, so it was like, you know, everybody, we've got it to the point now where everybody feels like they know each other, and but nobody actually really knows each other, you know, because like,
I mean, yeah,
because like, you know, I've you know, I mean, as you know, people listening to this probably are, you know, I've got tons of people that follow me on Facebook that think they know me based on the things I post on Facebook, but do they really know me? No, they just know what I post on Facebook.
You kind of reminds me too when I made a, this is way back in the days of MySpace. You made a group once that was really popular.
Yeah.
I made a group that was kind of popular. Seems like it was at that time in MySpace where,
yeah,
just seemed like easier to get more people on board. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, for a while I thought people knew me enough to kind of, you know, trust me and kind of like understand my point of view or something like that. But I didn't realize when I made the group, it was a group for Muslims and Baha'is to kind of just talk to each other.
Yeah.
What it was basically to kind of like bridge the gap between the prejudice that both communities kind of have towards each other. But anyway, but it's often seen like only one way when it's actually both ways. But and so I had the thing where I didn't really understand much about like, you know, creating groups or what like that. And so I had the thing where it's automatically checked that anyone who joined the group could upload pictures to the group as a part of like the, and so a pair of like these few Islamophobes joined a group, or at least just found it. And so they started uploading all this Islamophobic garbage when I was in sleep. And then so I wake up to like dozens of messages of like death threats because I'm just this, you know, like degrading the Prophet Muhammad. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? And he's like, look at the pictures. And I go, what? I go, oh, okay. No, I didn't upload any of these pictures at all. And shit like
that. And I mean, and it's gotten to the point now on Facebook, especially, where about 90% of the things that are posted are just, you know, spam or scams. You know, people posting pictures of, you know, lost dogs that aren't actually lost, or
a lot of people fall for that one.
Yeah. And then, cause then it ends up turning into a, you know, some other kind of scam once you post it on your timeline. But, or just, you know, the whole thing with like, you know, you got, you know, phishing scams in the email, you got different things. It's like the danger is the internet is a dangerous place, but there are good things with it. So you basically the whole, like, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater is like kind of a good thing to put there, but you got to be more vigilant and aware now than you ever had to be even in 1997, you know? So it's kind of scary. And I mean, I think, like there's actually laws. Like, I'm not a big fan of Ron DeSantis, but he actually put a law into place in Florida where you have to be like 16 years old before you can have a social media account.
Yeah. I think
he has other ulterior motives, but the basic
idea, sure.
The basic idea of it, I actually agree with, but the thing is there's going to be millions of ways to get around that.
Oh, of course. Just like watching porn when you're 15 and you just, oh, I'm 18 years old. Sure. You know,
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, there's, but I'm sure there's going to be ways to get around it, but it is a good thing. I mean, I think I have no right to give advice in parenting at all because I never planned to have kids, but unless, you know, things change in my life, who knows. But the main thing is, it's like, I don't think, you know, people letting their 10-year-olds have a Facebook account or whatever is a good idea, or have a, you know, a TikTok or a Snapchat or a Ding Dong or a Who's a What's It or whatever they are nowadays.
Who's a What's, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Or Chair's a new one. Chair.
Yeah. Is it?
Called Chair. Yeah. No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
And yes, the, I was 14 when I got on AOL.com, but the thing is, AOL back then, like, social media wasn't as, like, profound as it is now. Like, everything was on AOL. Like, they had chat rooms, they had, like, individual chats, they had email, but, like, that was pretty much it. Like, everything yeah. else, you had to go to actual websites to do, like, certain, like, or to look at certain things, like.
And there really wasn't, like, as many people online at that time, too, so it was, like, a lot.
Right.
But still, you do have things, like, examples, like, in this episode where, you know, at that time where people were trying to get to kids, and people did, and I just think it's even more prevalent now than it ever was, and it's,
right.
you know, it's just more reason that parents should be more diligent with their kids and pay attention to them. I know it's harder nowadays because people have to have, like, 4 jobs to actually live, but,
right, exactly.
So it's really it's basically my message here and my advice. No, I'm joking, because I don't give advice. Is that my message basically here is that capitalism and neoliberalism and a bunch of other isms have destroyed this country.
Yeah,
and made this place a living hell, and yep. Made it easier for people to take advantage of kids. And, yep.
Yep.
I don't know what that was, and I know it's a downer, but yeah. Anyways, this episode, you know, teaches a good lesson, I think. You know, and that important lesson is that you should not buy a car for $600.
That's the real lesson of it. Yeah. That's the real lesson of this episode.
I had to try to make it lighter here. Anyway, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, folks, do you have anything else you want to say here about this, Sesame, before we wrap things up?
Nope.
Okay. So, folks, if you have any other suggestions of, very special episodes of your favorite sitcoms that you would like us to cover, let us know. Message me at mike@cullenpark.com. I am, also, like, send me a message if you're interested, or anywhere on our social media or anything. If you're interested in any, in a email newsletter from us, I'm thinking of beta testing that soon and seeing if people would like that. So then you would be up to date on our newest episodes and any, updates of our show and you know, things like that. Yeah, and you can feel free to message me. I'm not going to try to sell you bootleg video games or anything. And yeah, just go to all2real2.com for all the information about all of our stuff. You can subscribe to the show, give us a 5-star review if you can, anywhere you can. Check out our Patreon and our TeePublic, good ways to support the show. You know, share the show, spread the word, subscribe. Do all that good stuff, you know? And just remember, folks, that I love you. Marky412 doesn't love you.
No.
Sesame loves you. And until next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com. Thank you.